So there's some really, really interesting research coming from the Stellenbosch University into the role played by women and girls in Western Cape gangs. Psychology researcher and counselor Emanuela Muller studied how girls and women in the Western Cape are recruited and initiated into gangs and what roles they go on to fill. She joins us now on the line for more on this topic. Good morning, Emanuela.
Good morning, Saskia. Thank you for having me. Good morning to your listeners.
So I'm assuming that this was your thesis that you did for your master's qualification.
Yes, this was my thesis that I completed.
And tell us the subject of your thesis, the title.
So the official title is the initiation or the recruitment and initiation of girls into gangs in the Western Cape.
So this was a very interesting topic. I'd like to know, before we get stuck into what you found, why it is that you chose this particular topic. Why was this particular topic of interest to you?
So I think it was a bit of a personal interest, you know, working in the field of psychology. In my training to become a registered counselor, I was doing some community work at a community organization. And I was just engaging with some young children, and they were speaking about, you know, drugs and guns and killings. And I just thought, these children are 10 years old. And it was really just so shocking to me that this is what they were speaking about. Mm. And it came up, this was linked to gangsterism in the community. And so that was where my personal interest in this research started. And then in discussing, you know, a potential topic for my thesis, it came about, you know, in discussion with my supervisor, that research focusing particularly on women and girls and gangs is very scarce. So this is internationally, but also particularly within the South African context. So this research came about in a response, you know, to address this gap in the literature, but also on a more practical level. At this time, I was involved as a facilitator in a project that was running. And I was facilitating a group for a group of women that had been involved in gangs. And a part of this project, they also had learning questions. So some of these learning questions were, how do girls get recruited? Why do they get recruited? What are they doing in gangs? And what can we do to prevent young girls from becoming involved in gangs in the first place? And how can we assist women who want to leave gangs? How can we assist them to do that?
I mean, when we think about gangs and gang life, we don't necessarily think about women. We normally think about men. But the uncomfortable truth is that women are, in fact, quite a key part of gang activities, and don't necessarily just exist on the periphery. What did your research find in terms of this in particular in relation to gangs in Cape Town?
Definitely. So, you know, you're very right. Even in the research, you know, it highlighted the fact that when you think about gangs, you don't associate that with women or females. And traditionally, when people think about women and gangs, they are seen as the girlfriends or the mothers or the wives. And so with this research, you know, participants spoke about the fact that women are involved in the core gang activities. So they are selling drugs for gangs. You know, gangs are even using high school girls, primary school girls, to sell drugs at school for them. They are participating in robberies and break-ins with fellow male gang members. So they are actually contributing to the financial resources of the gang, and they are also bringing in income for gangs.
And is, I mean, and I don't know if your research looked at this, but has it always been like that, this misperception that we have of women not being part of core gang activity? Is this a recent development? Did your research tell you that, or is this always how it has been?
Yeah, so according to the research, it's always been like that. When we look at delinquency and criminal activity, what's been reported was largely focused on males. So it's been like that for a long time, and I think it's only recent that we are uncovering that women are in fact involved in core gang activities. And that's why I think it's so important to do this research to find out more about this.
And I can see how globally your research then would be important as well. So not just for us here, but actually, you know, being able to understand it in a broader level, because I'm sure there are similarities, you know, in terms of the culture and the mindset and the conditions that lead to the strong formations of these kinds of criminal elements.
Definitely. I think, you know, the project that I was referring to earlier, it was a collaborative project. So it took place between three countries. So it was South Africa and the UK and Colombia. And so we were learning from each other, but you're definitely right in the circumstances and the type of communities where this was taking place. It was very similar.
And so tell us a little bit about what you found when what your research revealed in terms of how gangs in the Western Cape are using women and girls, and a little bit just about the profile of the women and girls age-wise.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, when it comes to the age of young girls that they are recruiting, you know, one of my participants was 12 years old when she became involved in gang activity. So it's anywhere from as young as 12 years old. And these are girls that are growing up, you know, in poverty, families are struggling financially. Often they're growing up in a broken family. There's an absent father. So they are looking for that sense of acceptance, that sense of affirmation, and that's what these gangs, they pull at that vulnerability. So what they are doing in the gangs, what came out from the research, so as I said, they are selling drugs for the gangs, they are taking part in robberies and break-ins, they are hiding contraband, so they are hiding drugs, hiding weapons in their homes, in grandparents' homes, in families' homes. They also act kind of as the ears and the eyes. So, for example, if they have a boyfriend that is in prison, they are the ones that are carrying information to this boyfriend. And then also something that is unique to women, and it's something that is quite concerning to highlight, is that their sexuality is being exploited in these gangs as well. So the term that is used for this particular role that they play is called trap girls. So they use women to lure in rival male gang members with their sexuality. If they've planned, for example, an assault on a rival male gang member, they rely on the woman to lure them in. And then also, you know, women are sex providers in the gangs. And that was something that was very, shocking and concerning to you. But that was also something that was highlighted by the participants.
I mean, what you're talking about here is like normal, regular gang activity. So I'm looking and I'm thinking, your research is saying that, you know, a female gang member is just as valuable as a male gang member. Does this mean that they also have the same kind of opportunities within that gang? So, for instance, how common is it for women to rise up in the ranks in a gang on the Cape Flats?
So they are playing, you know, very similar roles. And I think it is important to note that while it is, you know, can be disempowering for women, research that was done also showed that it can be empowering for women. So there are women that do, you know, rise up in the ranks within gangs. But what the participants said is that ultimately gangs are a very patriarchal structure. And the man will always be the head and the woman will be the tail. So while there is opportunities, this is not the norm. And at the end of the day, you know, the men are the ones that are in charge.
I mean, my producer has just shared with me the name of the firm drug cartel member Katie Ann Aronso was assassinated in 1998. I mean, she rose up quite high in gang culture. Is that common? Not really.
So it's possible. It's definitely possible. I think it takes a little bit more work from the women, because I think it's necessary for them to take on, you know, this very tough stance to protect themselves, because they are vulnerable in the gang space. So it's definitely possible, but it is not the norm based on the research.
Right. We have a voice note that we want to play for you.
Good morning, lady. This is Odin here from Balbo Taxi Rank. And my witness of gangs and gangsters in and around Bellville, and even since years ago when I was involved in gangs, wherever there is a gruesome crime which started off as robbery, there is definitely a woman involved. It's almost like the male are feeding off the female, and that will trigger his violent behavior in the crime, in the crime itself. Instead of just being a normal robbery or house break-in, they will then commit gruesome crimes because there is a female involved in that. I've been noticing that always, and even, you know, in our days, that's how it was. That's how it always were. Wherever there's a female involved, the crime will then generally be stepped up a notch. And in and around Bellville, you see that continuously on a daily basis. I experience that. Thank you, lady.
Thank you very much for that contribution, Odin. I mean, Manuela, is this what you saw in your research as well?
So that's a very interesting, you know, perspective that this gentleman has shared. And I think he's also speaking from firsthand experience and being a member of the community. So, I mean, at the end of there by saying, you know, when there's a crime involved, it's taken up a notch when there is a woman involved. So I think if, you know, looking from the research, what the participants have said is that it's so much women have a greater need to really prove themselves in the gang space. And, you know, perhaps what this gentleman is saying is linked towards that, is that because it's taken up a notch, it brings it back to that point where women do have to fight a bit harder to earn the respect of males in gangs.
We're talking to Emanuela Muller, who has completed a very interesting piece of research looking at how Cape gangs use women and girls to do their dirty work. And she is a researcher with the University of Stellenbosch. Tell us a little bit about how the girls are recruited, because one would think that, you know, you had mentioned that there are socioeconomic issues that come into play. But I don't want us to think that maybe only women and girls who are in compromised, you know, socioeconomic conditions. So, for instance, if they're growing up in the Cape Flats, then that's going to be a natural progression. You know, some male gangs, are they, I believe they target people from wealthy families as well. So what did your research find in terms of, are there certain sectors of our population where the girls are more vulnerable?
So I just want to just mention, you know, that this research was done with young women from communities on the Cape Flats. Okay. So it was done within that particular context. But like you say, sometimes they can target, you know, a woman from a family that comes from a more wealthy background because of the social value that she brings to the gang. And that just increases their social standing within the community. But if we're speaking about recruitment in these communities, so there was kind of two types of recruitment. There's the active recruitment and passive recruitment. So when we speak about active recruitment, it's when there are male gang members actually reaching out to women, you know, and inviting them to join them, mm-hmm. to come and socialize with them. So what was very commonly linked to gangs was drug abuse. So often there's women that are addicted to substances, and you have male gang members that are offering them this access to drugs. Or they are inviting young girls to come and socialize with them over the weekends. Perhaps it's the girls on their way to school in the mornings, on their way home from school in the afternoons, where they are approached by gang members. And then if we look at the more, you know, passive forms of recruitment, this could be young girls that maybe unintentionally are finding themselves in these gang spaces.
Oh, Emanuela? I think we might have lost her. Let's see if we can try to get her back on the line again. Emanuela? Okay, no, it seems like we've lost her. Very, very interesting research there coming out of the University of Stellenbosch into the role that's played by women and girls in Western Cape gangs. We're going to see if we can get Manuela back on the line, because I actually want to ask her about interventions that can be put in place to see women leaving. I don't want to just leave it there that, you know, this is kind of the fate of women and girls who get recruited into gangs. So, Manuela, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I wanted to ask you the question before we wrap up the interview around interventions. But you were finishing your take on the active and passive recruitment.
Yeah, so I think I was just ending off there with a passive recruitment. As I've mentioned, women sometimes unintentionally find themselves in these spaces that later leads to deeper gang involvement. And what the research has shown is that the most common pathway into a gang is a romantic involvement with a male gang member. So this is how young women get into contact with gangs.
And then what about leaving? You know, I mean, what did your research say in terms of do they leave? Can they leave? What keeps them there? And is it viable for them to leave?
Yeah. So the participants mentioned that it is very difficult to leave a gang, and it can be difficult for a number of reasons. So because of the level of involvement in a gang, you've got certain knowledge about what the gang has done and what they are doing. So this can be a threat to gangs when you are on the outside. So there is this level of surveillance of the gangs watching you. So you've got to be very careful. And when it comes to practical considerations, they need a place of safety. So they need a place to stay. They need support systems. And whatever support systems they have and whatever intervention is taking place, it needs to be long-term and sustainable. And you spoke about, you know, whether it's viable for them to leave a gang. So what these participants have said is that, you know, after leaving a gang, if there aren't any viable alternative options, the likelihood of them returning to a gang is very high.
And we're talking about economic opportunities here. We're talking about actually, you know, that they're able to sustain their lives outside of, you know, that environment.
Yes. So maybe just to touch on kind of prevention intervention efforts, what you've spoken about is economic opportunities. So with women in gangs, you know, there's a high chance that they have dropped out of high school, for example. So they don't have a matric certificate. They don't have the qualifications or the skills necessary to enter the workforce. So they need to be linked to educational opportunities, to funding opportunities to further their studies. And like you said, it's really about them being able to create a sustainable livelihood for themselves so that they can gain that that economic freedom and that independence for themselves.
Manuela, what's next for you now that you've completed your master's thesis? Is this a subject that you're going to be delving into a little bit more, or will you now just go out and actually practice and be a counselor?
Yes, I'm very interested in this research. I do believe it's very important research. So next for me is, you know, my PhD. I'm hoping to speak to even more women to gain, you know, an even deeper understanding of this, and then hopefully with these women, you know, put a project together that can be used to apply for funding to carry out these programs in these communities.
Fantastic. We wish you all the best with that, and thank you so much for making the time to chat to us about your research this morning.
Thank you, Saskia. Keep well.
You too. That's Emanuela Muller. She is, of course, a student. Well, I don't call her a student. She's got a master's degree, about to do her PhD, but at Stellenbosch University, looking particularly at Cape gangs and how they use women and girls in this place. And very fascinating. So they are playing very much an active role in the gang's core activities, and very fascinating to see what kind of options these girls have. Not very many. So if this is an interest space that interests you, it looks like there is quite a lot of work that needs to be done in that space.